Welcome to North Place Church in Durban, South Africa. Thank you for joining us online today. If you're a guest, we would love the opportunity to get to know you a little better and to share more information with you about North Place Church. If you would please type guest in the comments section or private message us, one of our staff will be in touch with you as quickly as possible. For many of us, having church online is a different experience. But fortunately, we still have the ability to gather. That's what's so important to us as the body of Christ. And we have the ability not just to gather, but to make things interactive. See, regardless of if you're watching on Facebook or if you're watching on YouTube, all of us have the ability to comment or to hit those emojis. I can tell you after 25 years of preaching ministry, this online-only thing has been very, very hard on me. You know, whenever you're preaching and you're looking out at the crowd, sometimes people have to get up and excuse themselves. They have to go to the restroom or take their child to the cry room or who knows what may be the case. But a few times in my preaching career, there have been times when I have noticed that I clearly have upset someone, and they've gotten up, kind of given me that mean face and walked out the back. It hasn't happened often, but it does happen. But I can tell you about this online thing, it messes with your head, because when people drop off the stream, I have no idea if I've made them mad or what's going on, or maybe they just have internet problems. But I can tell you that I would love to have some feedback. So please give a brother some help, hit those heart emojis or whatever may be the case. Let us know you're out there. We want to interact with you, even though we are doing church online. Seriously, one thing that we can all do is we can hit that share button, because when we hit that share button, it invites other people to join us here at North Place Online. So if this service has been meaningful to you, hit that share button and let's include other people in our North Place worship experience. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be doing some work together as we look in Scripture and we explore what the Bible has to say about how we respond to life circumstances as we're dealing with right now. We're going to look at what the Bible teaches us about people who had to start over. See, for most people watching this broadcast, there has never been a time in our collective history that we have faced a moment like this. We've never dealt with a global situation like this before. Individually, we may have faced setbacks and letdowns. Some of us perhaps have gone through catastrophes or gut punches or devastation or disappointment. But it seems right now, people all over the world, people all over South Africa, people all over Durban are saying, now what? What do we do now? What do we do in a global pandemic? What am I supposed to do when the lockdown is over? Maybe even some of us feel like, what am I supposed to do now when it seems like the lockdown is never going to end? You see, no matter who you are or where you're watching from today, we all are in this together. We're all dealing with this idea of where do we go from here. Maybe you're watching today and as a result of COVID-19, as a result of this virus, you've experienced great loss in your life. Perhaps you've lost your job. Perhaps you've lost a moment in time that was so significant or important to you. Perhaps you were in the middle of an education and your school shut down and you're thinking to yourself, what do I do now? Perhaps it's caused strain on your marriage or it's caused strain on some relationship in your life. You see, every one of us are experiencing an impossible situation. And every one of us are asking ourselves some difficult questions. I have good news for you today. You see, the God of the Bible is a God who specializes in new beginnings. He is a God that throughout human history has stepped into our existence and has made himself known when it seemed like everything was unknowable. See, I don't know what you've been taught about God. I don't know what you believe. I don't know what your theology is. I can't possibly imagine every unhealthy or incorrect representation of God that exists out there. But I do know this. I do know that God, the God of the Bible, is not a God who leaves us alone. He's not a God who leaves us in our catastrophe or our heartache or in our situation. We've been, over the last several weeks, we just finished up a series on dealing with anxiety. And I wanted to kind of tie into that series as we move into this new series. I want to echo the words of Paul as he begins that book of Philippians. He says this in chapter 1, verse 6. He says, "I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ." If you're watching this video today and you're asking, now what? If you're in a situation and you're in a circumstance where you don't know where to go from here, let me say this to you with the same confidence that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. I'm saying this to you today. I am confident of this. I may not be confident of when this lockdown is going to end here in South Africa. I may not be confident of answering every situation or every question that you may have, but I am confident of this, that this God, the God of heaven, the God who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion. As we begin this series of looking at stories of people who are starting over, let's begin with this thought in mind. God has not left us. He is mindful of every one of our circumstances. He is with us, and he will complete his good work in our lives. You see, where you are right now may not be where you intended to be, but it is not so far that you are out of reach of the God of creation. He's mindful of you. He knows exactly where you are. And he is able to help you to begin again. You see, there's probably not a more fitting book of the Bible to start this conversation with than the book of Job. The book of Job is one of those books in the Bible that, quite honestly, is full of maybe more questions than answers. There's probably not a more depressing book of the Bible than the book of Job. Theologically, it's kind of hard to understand, and it raises a lot of questions about God and our relationship with God. You see, I want to give you a rundown for some of you who may not be familiar with the book of Job. Job is a prosperous farmer, and he's living in the land of Uz, U-Z, and he is living his life, and everything seems to be going well for him. But Satan comes before God claiming that the only reason that Job is faithful and the only reason that he trusts God is because of his wealth and because everything is going well with Job. Now, again, that's hard to really understand, and theologically, it's really hard to process that conversation, but it gives us some perspective that there are things that happen in the heavenlies that we don't know and that we don't understand. You see, God allows Satan to intervene in Job's life. In fact, Job's children, his servants, his livestock, his herdsmen, and his home are completely destroyed. But in spite of all of this, as we read the book of Job, we see the story of a man who's living in devastation, who's living with a lot of questions that aren't being answered, and yet he continues to trust God. Satan attacks his body, and he covers him literally with boils, leaving him in complete and utter turmoil. Job's wife tells him that everything is lost, and he might as well curse God and die. I mean, if things aren't bad enough, three of his best friends come to him. They come to visit him. And while at first they grieve silently with Job, then they kind of step into the mode of correcting him. And they start to tell Job all of his sins and all of the things that he has clearly done wrong. And so that's why he is suffering. They tell him that he must confess to God. And if he does, then he'll be delivered. In spite of all of that, Job continues to profess his innocence. He continues to go on and on about, in spite of everything that he's going through, he can't seem to figure out why he is suffering. Finally, after a long period of time, after being grilled by his friends, after defending himself over and over and over again, finally God speaks out and he responds to Job. When he does, Job falls down in humility and reverence to God. God rebukes Job's friends. He corrects them, and then he brings restoration to Job. He restores all of his wealth. He restores his family. I mean, this is a roller coaster ride of a story. There's so much about it that is hard to understand. And yet today I want to look quickly at the life of Job, and I want to look at his response and some of the things that we can learn about starting over from this man who went through what many of us can never even imagine. Job chapter 19, verses 25 through 27, kind of gives us an insight into Job's mentality through his suffering and through the catastrophe that he went through. It says this, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me." Here is a man that is in the middle of his suffering, and yet he makes this confession and declaration about God. The story of Job is really crazy, and it raises all of these challenges to our theology, just like it raised challenges to Job's theology. His friends came to him, and they tried to explain God. Job himself tried to explain it. He tried to understand it, and yet over and over and over again, he kept coming up empty in his explanation. His friends kept coming up empty in their explanation. What we learn from the book of Job is not the answer to every question, but we do learn this. We know that God is all wise, all powerful, and good. His will is perfect, yet God doesn't always act in ways that we understand. See, that's important. God doesn't always act in ways that we understand, and he doesn't always act in ways that we want him to act. See, I know a lot of us have theology that has taught us if we do certain things, if we act certain ways, if we behave in these certain things, if we throw money in the offering, or if we say our prayers a certain way, that God's just like this genie in a bottle that's going to do whatever we want, however we want, whenever we want it. And yet the book of Job teaches us just exactly the opposite. God is mysterious. His ways are not our ways, and he acts in ways that we can't always understand. He acts in ways that we can't always explain. You see, to start over, we cannot allow the things that I do not understand to paralyze me. If I'm going to start over, I cannot allow the things that I do not understand and I cannot explain to paralyze me. Now, please don't be confused. I'm not saying that we shouldn't mourn. In fact, I want to encourage you right now. Some of you have experienced loss during this catastrophe. Some of you have experienced heartache. Some of you have had graduation ceremonies that haven't taken place. Some of you are in the middle of your matric year and you have no idea how you're going to proceed. Some of you have experienced heartache as it relates to your job. I'm not telling you not to mourn. In fact, Scripture encourages us to mourn. Mourning is natural and it is normal. I'm not telling you to not ask questions. Can I help you to understand something today? God is not threatened by your questions. He's not moved by your questions. He's not going to love you any less when you ask him a question or when you explain to him how your heart feels. God isn't moved by that. He didn't wipe this man off of the face of the planet because we read this entire book of the Bible where he's asking God these hard questions. No, see, it's not a matter of not asking the questions. It's not a matter of not mourning. But it is a matter of us allowing our mourning and our questions, the mysteries that we can't explain, to paralyze us and to keep us from moving forward. You see, faith is not defined by the answers I receive. It is defined by the confidence I have in the one who I ask. Faith isn't a matter of not asking questions. Faith is a matter of understanding that the one that I ask, regardless if I ever understand the mystery, regardless if I ever get the question answered or not, the one who I ask is greater. He's more. He's beyond my circumstance. So, see, though we may not always understand the things that we go through, we may not always understand the unexpected circumstances that come into our lives. Those unexpected circumstances, those situations that are beyond our control, help us to better understand ourselves and help us to better understand God. What I love about the book of Job, and really as depressing as it can be, what I love about it is you see a man who goes inward. He starts to understand himself more, and he starts to understand God more. Even though his friends came to him and they said things to him that were discouraging and things to him that were not true and things to him that did not make sense, it didn't cause Job to move away from God. Instead, it continually pushed Job towards God, and it helped Job to understand himself in light of God more. See, many of us, we lack the ability to start over, to move forward when we deal with catastrophe because we allow our questions, we allow our grief to paralyze us instead of moving us toward God. Somehow or another, we've been taught or we believe or we think that our mourning, that our grief, that our questions isolate us from God. What we must learn from this man, what we must learn from Job is that it should move us toward God. Notice that Job uses the word redeemer when I read those verses to you. Notice he said, my redeemer lives. In spite of what I'm going through, in spite of my circumstance, in spite of my unanswered questions, in spite of my grief and my pain and my mourning, I know this, my redeemer lives. That word redeemer means the one who regains possession of something. If I redeem something, I buy something back. You see, God is a God who is a redeemer. His identity does not change based on our circumstances. In fact, our circumstances reinforce his identity. It shows us or it proves to us his identity. He is a God who buys us back, who redeems our circumstances and our situations. He is a God who has the power to help us start over when it seems that all has been lost. See, that's a point right there where you can hit that heart emoji. That's a point right there where you can say amen. Our God helps us to start over. He helps us to begin again. Satan desires to drive a wedge between man and God. While we cannot control Satan's actions, we can control our reaction. You see, the book of Job is all about that. It's all about Satan trying to disrupt the relationship between this righteous man and God. And that's what he wants to do in your life. That's what he wants to do in my life. He wants to disrupt our relationship. He wants to drive a wedge and cause us to get to such a place in our heart and mind that we feel distant from God. And yet what Job continually shows us is a person who was honest with God, was honest about his feelings, but continued to trust God. See, when it comes to suffering, when it comes to loss, when it comes to questions that we have no answer to, when it comes to mourning, we must be careful to not succumb to the temptation of pride. One of the themes that runs throughout the book of Job is over and over and over again. Job was wrestling with the fact that he couldn't understand why this was happening to him and why he was living his life in what he thought was a righteous way, and yet this was happening to him. And he had to continually come back to this place that even though I feel blameless, even though I don't understand, I must remain humble before God. You see, we cannot allow our mourning, we cannot allow our grief, we cannot allow our questions to cause us to come to a place of pride where we're separated from God. You see, in spite of all of the pain, the loss, the suffering, Job never once gave up on God. Did he question God? Yes. Did he grieve? Yes. Did he get upset with God? Absolutely. But he didn't place his confidence or his hope in his own experience, his own wisdom. He didn't place his confidence in his friends or his own health. Instead, in spite of his circumstance, he continued to focus on God. See, to start over, I must build my foundation on trusting God. My question for you today, my question for me is, where are we putting our trust? I can't explain COVID-19. I'm not one of those people who's going to get on here and tell you God is judging the world with this plague. I'm not one of these people who's going to make some convoluted theological argument where I piece together mysterious parts of Scripture to come up with some explanation as to why this has happened. Nor would I try to explain why everything that you are facing has happened in your life. I can't explain your divorce, my friend. I can't explain your business that has had to close. I can't explain the disease that you're dealing with. I have no explanation for cancer. I have no explanation for what you may be going through today. But I can tell you this. Your Redeemer lives. And just like Job, you and I must put our trust in God. If we desire to start over, if we desire to begin again, we must begin by placing our confidence in a God who doesn't always act the way we want him to act, who doesn't always do what we want him to do. He's not a Jack in the box that we wind up and responds however we want him to respond. No, he is the God of all creation. And in spite of our circumstance, in spite of our situation, he is in control. Your Redeemer lives. If you're watching this video today and you're overwhelmed by your circumstances or your situations, I'm going to pray for you in just a moment, and I believe that when I pray, the Holy Spirit is going to begin to move in your heart and life. But we don't want to leave you there, my friend. I want to encourage you, if you type prayer into the comment section or if you reach out to us through Messenger, one of our team, one of our staff, one of our prayer partners will reach out to you. We want to connect with you. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you as you walk through this season of starting over. Can I pray for you? Friend, Father, I thank you so much. I thank you that our Redeemer lives. In spite of COVID-19, in spite of cancer, in spite of heartache, in spite of catastrophe, in spite of my marriage falling apart, in spite of my business crashing, in spite of the economy being out of control, our Redeemer lives. You are still God. And while we cannot explain you, while we do not always understand your ways, we know that you are faithful. Father, I pray for every person who is watching this video today. May you go to them wherever they are, and may the Holy Spirit begin to testify to them of a living God who is with them in spite of their suffering. May you, by the Holy Spirit, begin to make yourself known to people right now. Father, may they be drawn into relationship with you so they can express their heart like Job. They can express what is inside of them. They can ask you the questions. They can get it off their chest. And at the end of it all, recognize, realize, and know that you are still God and that your presence is with them. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus, draw people to yourself. Amen. Again, if you're watching today and we can minister to you in any way, please type prayer into the comment section. Reach out to us through Messenger. We would love to connect with you. Friend, I want to encourage you, continue to journey with us throughout this message series. We're going to be learning together some very practical things that we can do in this process of starting over. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord.